Hare Krishna. Today, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 1, Verse number 3. Yad yasmin antare brahman Bhagavan Vishvabhav anaha Kirtama kurte karta kurte yatitate nagat yaya yava yat whatever activities yasmin in a particular age antare manvantara brahman o great brahmana bhagavan the supreme personality of godhead bishva bhavanaha who has created this cosmic manifestation? Kritavan has done. Kurute is doing. Karta and will do. He indeed. Atite in the past. In the past. Anagate. In the future, adya, the present, va, either. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O learned Brahman, kindly describe to us whatever activities the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who created this cosmic manifestation, has performed in the past manvantars, is performing at present, and will perform in the future manvantars. So let us say responsively, O learned Brahman, kindly describe to us whatever activities the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who created this cosmic manifestation, has performed in past manvantars, is performing at present, and will perform in the future manvantars. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said that both He and the other living entities present on the battlefield had existed in the past, they existed at present, and they would continue to exist in the future. Past, present, and future always exist, both for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and for ordinary living entities. Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam. Both the Lord and the living entities are eternal and sentient. But the difference is that the Lord is unlimited, whereas the living entities are limited. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the creator of everything. And although the living entities are not created, but exist with the Lord eternally, their bodies are created. Whereas the Supreme Lord's body is never created. There is no difference between the Supreme Lord and His body. But the conditioned soul, although eternal, is different from His body. The verse is, O learned Brahman, kindly describe to us whatever activities the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who created this cosmic manifestation, has performed in the past manvantars, is performing at present, and will perform in future manvantaras. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pustaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvasesa Sunyavari Paskacha Desatarne Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Shri Gadadhar Shri Basari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Parikshit Maharaj, he's been fasting for 7 days. Not drinking, not eating, not sleeping. He's spending this 7-day period very, very wisely because he has been cursed to die. He was cursed to die with 7 days' notice. So in this 7 days, he wants to understand what are the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The 7th canto was about the pastimes of the Lord in the Manvantar, in the era, in the reign of Swayambhuv Manu, Dakshas, Parivar, his progeny are discussed. There is the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakasipu. Parikshit, he's absolutely delighted. He wants more. He loves this. He's hearing directly from Sukadev Goswami, pastimes of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He is just eager for more. We're reading today from the 3rd verse of this new chapter of Bhagavatam, Canto 8. In the first verse, Parikshit Maharaj, he wants to know about the reign of the other Manus, the other Manvantaras. In verse 2, he's asking about Krishna's Leela, Krishna's pastimes within the various Manvantaras. And in this verse, he's continuing. Same question, same theme. He wants to know the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in past Manvantaras, in this, where he's living, the present Manvantar, and in future Manvantars. In the material world, there's birth and death for everything. The entire universe has its origin, and it perishes in time. Lord Brahma himself, he lives and he dies. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, are listed the 10 subject matters that Srimad Bhagavatam deals with. The first one is Sarga. Sarga is the creation of the universe. It's the creation of the ingredients of the universe. Just like you may get ingredients to cook a meal. You can cook a very creative, wonderful meal, but already you had the ingredients. So the first sarga, the first item, is the creation of the universe in terms of the ingredients for the meal that will be cooked. The second item, subject matter, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Srimad Bhagavatam deals with, the second item is Visarga. This is also creation, but it's a subsidiary creation. It's the creation of Lord Brahma. Each day of Brahma is a kalpa. He creates the universe in his day within this kalpa. The third item is stana. This is a word which means the maintenance of the planetary systems within the universe. The fourth is posana. This is protection of the devotees. Prahlad Maharaj, in the last canto, he was protected by the Lord. This is much of the subject matter of the seventh canto. And in this canto to come, there will be Gajendra Moksha. There will be the protection of the Lord's devotees, Jigendra. Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 7, Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya. He comes personally again and again. He says in verse 8, to protect the devotees. Paritranaya sadhanam. He comes to deliver the devotees. Number 5 in the list of 10 subject matters is uti. Uti is the prescribed duties for law-abiding persons. Number 6 is the manvantars. This is the reign of the manus. Number 7 is Ishunakata. This is the science of God. Number 8, the 8th topic in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is Naroda. This is the winding up. This is the dissolution of the universe. After the day of Brahma and after the life of Brahma, there's the Mahapralaya, which everything is completely wound up. Number 9 is Mukti. Mukti means the cessation of material situation. It's liberation from material situation in terms of gross and subtle existence within this material world. Number 10 is the most important. Number 10 is Ashraya. Ashraya means shelter. It's the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The ultimate shelter in existence. The ultimate shelter within what we understand as eternity. Ashraya is the shelter of the 9 items. Items 1 to 9 from Visarga. Sharga Visarga, the creation of the universe, all the way to Mukti. The Ashraya of the Lord is the shelter of these 9 items. The Ashraya is the substance from which these other 9 items are created. 640 years ago, there was a very famous devotee, His Holiness Sridhar Swami. He wrote a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita called Bhav Artha Deepika. He was a great scholar, he was a great devotee, he was a great poet. In his commentary on the 10th canto, in the first chapter, he begins very poetically by saying, Dasame Dasamam Lakshya. He said that in the 10th canto, the 10th subject matter will be revealed. Item 2 on the list was Visarga. Visarga is the creation of Brahma. One day of Brahma is called a kalpa. There's 14 manus. They have an era, they have a reign within a kalpa. And each of their reign lasts for 71 chatur yugas. There are 4 yugas: sattva, usually, dwarpa, then treta, then kali. This particular time there's been a reverse of 2 of the yugas. But there's four yugas, and altogether the cycle of these four yugas is called a chaturyuga. 71 of these cycles, 284 yugas, is an era of Brahma, a reign of Bara Anantvantara. 14 of these is one day of Brahma. Srila Prabhupada later in this canto, in another purport, he mentions that one day of Brahma, a kalpa, is 4,300,000 times 1,000. 1,000 is derived from 14 times 71. It's almost 1,000. So a day of Brahma is 43 billion years. For Indian speaking people, that's 430 crores of years is one day of Brahma. But this period of time, this is just a detail to Maharaj Pariksha. He's very eager to hear the pastimes of Krishna. He's aware that there's very great periods of time, but he's very, very eager. This is a detail for him. He wants Krishna very, very badly. Wants to hear about Krishna, wants to relish Krishna's pastimes. I was round at the Bhakta Ashram yesterday, and the person in charge, he showed me the room where George Harrison stayed when he visited Vrindavan. He's visited Vrindavan at least twice. He visited Srila Prabhupada one time when we were building the temple. George Harrison, he gave a gift of Bhaktivedanta Manor to Srila Prabhupada. No one has ever given a gift to Srila Prabhupada of that magnitude, at least in Srila Prabhupada's lifetime. It was such a wonderful gift. One devotee called Jayadev, he was a singer, he was a pop singer, he was in a band who had some hits. He's still popular in Romania, in Japan. They still play his music on the radio every now and then. He still gets a check for some of his songs. Some promoter decided to do a tour. All the old guys who'd had hits, music, popular music in the 70s, in the early 80s. This promoter got them all on a bus. Just like when we go to Rath Yatra, we all pile on the bus. And he arranged little venues for them where they each got on and sung their famous song. And then they went to a hotel, not the best hotel. And on the first night, they sung their song, they went to the hotel. And in the dining area, there was a table. Table with all the different foodstuffs. They can pick and choose what they want. So one person, his name was Jerry Marsden. He had half a dozen big hits in the 70s with a band called the Pacemakers, Jerry and the Pacemakers. As soon as they went in and he saw the arrangement, he called out, "Where's the table for the vegetarians? Where's the vegetarian food? What about the vegetarians? Where's that?" So Jayadev, he turned and he said to him, they hadn't spoken till now, he knew who he was. They were all famous once upon a time. He said, "Oh, you're a vegetarian." He said, "Yes." He said, "All of the musical people in Liverpool were all vegetarians." And Jayadev said, "Oh." He said, "How was that?" He said, "George Harrison made us all vegetarians." He said, "He was very famous in the Beatles, very rich, very famous." He said, "As soon as he met us individually, got to know us, got to know where we were, he said, 'You got to stop eating meat.' He said, 'Look, I have a chef, a famous chef. He's my chef at home. He said, I'm going to send him to your house for a week. He can show you how to cook.'" He said, so he showed us how to cook, showed us how to make prasad. He said, "We're all vegetarians." George Harrison, when he was dying in Los Angeles, he had cancer. He knew he was dying. His wife, she didn't want him to die. She was very attached to him, loved him very much. She had him go to all of the big cancer specialists around the world, one by one. They went to a top person in Switzerland. It cost $50,000. This is 300 lakhs of rupees. Just to see the person. Just to speak to him for half an hour. He said, no, it's too late. This $50,000 just to see the man. He said, I knew I was dying, but my wife, he said, I just went to the different people just to please her. So finally, when she accepted, he was going to die. They went to Los Angeles. They rented a house. He contacted Shamsunder. He said, I'm dying now. He said, I'd love to see you. Shamsunder contacted Mukunda Maharaj, and they both went to the house. They came in. They went into the room. He was propped up in on a pillow on the bed, with his hand in his bead bag. At the bottom of the bed, there were deities of Radha Krishna. The door opened. He looked. He said, "Sham." He said, "You've come." He said, "I can't wait to meet Krishna." Eager for Krishna. This was the mood of Parikshit Maharaj. Eager to hear Krishna's pastimes. So, he's very, very eager. So he wants to hear Krishna's pastimes over a vast period of time. In that particular day of Brahma, 430 billion years. 430 crores of years. It's just a detail to him. He's very, very... In order for us to try to grasp this number, I want to give a comparison. In the winter, if we look at the sky, we can see the Milky Way. The Milky Way is called a galaxy. In terms of cosmology, it's called a galaxy. There's so many stars, you can't even count them. In Mayapur, in the winter time, where there's not a lot of light, there's not a lot of pollution, it's amazing the stars that you see. In places like Colorado, where it hardly ever rains, where there's no clouds, it's against the law to have your lights on after 10 o'clock at night. There's no street lights. You can't have a light outside your house. You'll get a fine. You'll get penalized for this. They want no lights because people come from all over the world to New Mexico. Did I say Colorado? To New Mexico to look at the stars. There's so many stars. What we can see with our eyes, what we can see with telescopes, is only 5% of what there is. Because 95% of the matter, of the existence, the material of the universe, we can't see it. It's beyond the spectrum. We can see certain colors. We can't see below this, we can't see above it. We can only hear certain things. A dog whistle, he can hear the whistle, we can't hear it. As you get older, and the skin on the drum of your ears, it gets thicker, you can't hear the same notes. Children, teenagers, they can hear notes, they can hear things in music that we can't hear. In my country, the children, the kids, teenagers, they like to hang around in the shopping centers. Sometimes they're a little loud, they dress a little funny, they're a little passionate, moving. So they have found that wherever these kids congregate, these shops do less business. So they want to move the children from these places where they hang out. So what they do on the tannoid system, they play screechy notes that adults can't hear, but the kids can. They say, wow, what a noise. So they move away from this noise because it's just a noise. It's just disturbing them. But the young people can hear it. The older people can't hear it. So one very clever boy, what he did, he sampled this noise with his phone and sold it as a ringtone. In most of the schools in the Western world, you're not allowed to use your phone in the classroom. They'll confiscate the phone. You get it at the end of the day, the end of the week. Sometimes you get it at the end of the term, in 3 months' time. They take your phone away. They say, no phones in the classroom. So this boy, he sold other people the ringtone, so they have their phone, they're not using it there, they're just looking at the time, and they text each other. And when he texts, it rings, and he texts back, and the teacher, who's older, who has thicker drum, doesn't hear the phone ringing. So the kids are all using the phone, using a ringtone that no adult can know that they're using the phone. So, the universe is very, very vast. We only can see with these eyes that can see certain colors, we only see 5%. There's 95% that we don't have. So they have various machines, just like the iPhone, it can sample the noise that the person can't hear. So there's various machines in which they can detect this other matter, which is in vibrational spectrums that we can't see. And as a result, they are assuming, they're speculating, they're guessing that like the Milky Way is one galaxy, which we can only see 5% of it, they say that there's 100 billion galaxies. That's 10,000 crores of galaxies. And they assume that there's up to 200 billion stars in each galaxy. 20,000 crores of stars in each of the 10,000 crores of galaxies. 100 million galaxies, 200 billion stars. This is how vast the universe is. It's very, very vast. We cannot understand how vast it is. So, we can understand too, perhaps, give us an idea of how the vastness of this time that Parikshit Maharaj, that he wanted to see the vastness of these galaxies. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 12. Natvevam jatuna sam, natvam nime janadi paha, Nachaiva Bhavamisha Maha Sarvivaya Mataha Param. He says, both you and I have always existed. There'll never be a time when we don't exist. And this is a very central point to Vaishnav philosophy. We are eternally existing as who we are, and Krishna is eternally existing who he is. There's not a time that we become Krishna. We are eternally separated. Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport of this verse we're reading today, Nityo Nityananam Chaitanas Chaitananam. This is from the Katha Upanishad. In the purport to this verse 2:12, Srila Prabhupada quotes an almost identical verse, very, very similar, almost identical. It's from the Svetasvatara Upanishad, chapter 6, verse 13. And it's almost the same. Nityo Nityananam Chaitas Chaitananam. Many Shastras share the same verses. They share the same concepts. Every verse comes to the same conclusion. Every Shastra comes to the same conclusion. We have to learn Shastric knowledge from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. in the purport yesterday, the class given by our president, Panchagoda Prabhu, in the purport, Prabhupada said, he said, at the present time, especially in India, so many rascals are claiming to be incarnations. Our people are being misled. One time in Calcutta, a devotee who had newly come to India a few months before, he was out in Calcutta going to businesses, going to offices, trying to enroll people in the life membership program. We had very little money then. There was very simple facilities, and this was the way of maintenance in Calcutta through the membership program. He came back to the temple and he was bewildered. He went into Srila Prabhupada's room and asked a question. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I met this man and I was talking about Krishna. He was very, very happy. He liked the Leela and the pastimes and the whole thing. He said, I asked him to become a member and he said that he is already worshipping an incarnation of Krishna. That his guru in Calcutta today lives in Bagh Bazar. He's an incarnation of Krishna. He said, what do I say to these people? And Srila Prabhupada, he was an old Calcutta boy. He had grown up there, knew exactly what Calcutta was all about, all the nonsense people get up to. He wasn't surprised. He said, in Calcutta, he said, there's an incarnation on every street corner. This is so many incarnations. So, Guru Sadhu Shastra, this is how we understand what is the nature of the absolute truth. The gurus should also say the same thing. And the Shastras are all saying the same. Indeed, many verses in one Shastra, the exact verse or a very identical verse, is in another Shastra. The Katha Upanishad is a very important Upanishad with many nice concepts. In the Mukti Upanishad, verses 30 to 39, Lord Ram recites to Hanuman a list of 108 Upanishads. He is discussing with Hanuman the nature of mukti, of liberation from this material world. And he, in this talk, he lists 108 Upanishads. This list is called the Mukita Canon. Canon is just a 500 rupee word for a list. It's a list of the Upanishads taken from the Mukti Upanishad. This is discussed and described in the Adi Leela, chapter 7, verse 108 in the purport. Of the 108 Upanishads, 11 are called the Mukya Upanishads. They are the principal Upanishads. Just like Brahma Samhita directly deals with the Lord's pastimes, there are 14 of the Upanishads that directly deal with Lord's pastimes. There's the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, there's the Krishna Upanishad, there's 12 other Upanishads that deal directly with the Lord's pastimes. Of the 108, the Mukita list, the Mukita canon, the first one listed is the Ishapanishad. The Ishapanishad is a very important Upanishad because it deals with the concept of Ishavasha. Ishavasha is a principle that God has given each of us our share, our quota. We have what we need without endeavor. It's this idea that we should just try somehow or other to grab what we can to get a bigger share. In Kali Yuga, the whole of materialistic history can be written from the perspective of the person who has the biggest danda, the biggest stick, the biggest club, the biggest bombs. He makes the rules and he just grabs whatever he can. This is the principle of capitalism. They've made it legal that if you have a big enough stick, you can cower others into taking whatever you want for yourself. This is the exact opposite of any idea of spiritual life. So this principle of Ishavasha in the Ishopanishad, this is listed as the most principal Upanishad. The second Upanishad is the Keno Upanishad. The Keno Upanishad largely deals with the guna nirguna, with the attributes or the lack of attributes in God. I have a hand. Does God have this kind of hand? No. I have eyes. Does God have these kind of eyes? No. I have a brain. Does God have a brain like mine? No. So I can conclude that God has no qualities. He has no attributes. He has no senses. But this is a wrong conclusion, because the attributes, the senses, the body of Krishna is transcendental. While I have a very mundane body, subject to birth, old age, disease and death. So the Katha Upanishad is number 3. It's from the Krishna Yajurveda. It's part of the Vedas. It's part of the Yajurveda, from a section of the Yajurveda called the Krishna Yajurveda. The Katha Upanishad is very important. It's the most popular Upanishad. It's the most widely translated. It's the most widely read and the most widely quoted. Srila Prabhupada, he quotes 12 different verses from the Katha Upanishad and his purport to the Bhagavad Gita. It's very, very important verse. In the Kali Upanishad, the example is given of the Rath Kalyan. This is the chariot. And there it describes that the body is a chariot, the living entity is the passenger, the intelligence is the driver, the mind is the reins, the senses are the horses. There's this same analogy as given in Bhagavad Gita. So the living entity who has bodily identification with the chariot, he's a very foolish enjoyer. The Katha Upanishad deals with the story of Nachiketas. Nachiketas is a 12-year-old boy. His father, Vajasravas, wants to do the Vishvajeta Yajna sacrifice, in which he gives away all his wealth. So all the rishis, the sages come, many people, he's going to give away everything he owns. But Nachiketas, the son, he's young and innocent, he notices his father is giving away cows which are old, which no longer give milk. He's giving away cows which are so old they can no longer have any other calves. So that he sees that his father is not truly doing this, that he's worldly, and he wants to have the reputation of doing this without actually doing this. So this gets Nachiketas, an innocent boy, thinking. So while his father is doing the sacrifice, he said, "Oh father, you've declared you're going to give everything away. So to whom will you give me away? I'm also your property." The father dismisses him. 3 times he asks this, "To whom will you give me away to, father?" So the father, he's irritated, he's angry by this. He says, "I will give you to the god of death." Then he realized what he said, and he said, "No, no, please." And the son said, "Fine, I will go. I will go and see Yamaraj, the god of death." So the father is apologizing. He said, "No, no, please don't do this." But he goes anyway. He goes to Yamaloka in the netherworlds. And Yama is not there. He's out on business. So he sits there for 3 days and 3 nights. When Yama comes and sees him, he understands the circumstances. He said, "You haven't eaten any food for 3 days. So I will give you 3 boons, 3 wishes. I will grant you 3 wishes. Nachiketas, without any hesitation, He said, I want a boon for the welfare of my father, so that he won't be worldly, he won't be angry, he won't be agitated. As the second boon, I would like a boon for mankind, for the people of the world. I would like to know the means by which people can get to heaven, where they don't grow old, where they don't grow sick. And for my third boon, he said, I want to know what happens to the jiva, what happens to the soul at the time of death. Yamaraj is very pleased with him. Young boy, he's 12. First boon is for his father. Second boon is for mankind. But he said to him, you're a young boy, you're only 12. It's very difficult to understand the mysteries of life and death. He said, the sages, the rishis are struggling to get this understanding. He said, take something easy. I can give you huge amount of material power. Or I can give you an unlimited amount of material comfort and facilities. Nichiketa says, what good are these? In 50, 100 years a person dies, so what are good are facilities? So just as Arjun speaking on the battle, this has set the scene to Krishna to speak the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, about to die, 7 days notice, gives the facility for Sukadev Goswami to speak so many narrations of Krishna, so many pastimes, the philosophy of the Bhagavatam. So too, this stubbornness of Nichiketa, he said, you told me I can have three boons, this is what I want number three. I want to know what is the nature of birth and death. So this gives rise to Yamaraj speaking the Katha Upanishad, which is a very, very famous Upanishad. It's probably the most famous Upanishad. It's the one which is translated the most, the one which is quoted the most. So Yama taught the nature of the individual soul and the nature of Brahman. He taught the science of the soul. In this Katha Upanishad 2.3.9, it's explained that spiritual understanding cannot be understood. It's not within the jurisdiction of the senses. The eyes, words, mind cannot understand or cannot describe spiritual science. 2.3.9, it says Brahman can't be understood by logic. God, you can't understand by logic. You can't understand by erudite scholarship. Only by the mercy of the Lord. Again it says, anyone who's favored by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only he can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead's transcendental position. His name, his qualities, his form, his pastime. In the purport here of this verse we read today, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that the living entity is always separate from Krishna. They have the same qualities, but where Krishna is unlimited, the jiva is very, very minute. And this is a very, very basic principle of Vaishnava philosophy. ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, very, very purely is preaching very pure Vaishnava philosophy. We're not allowed entrance into the Puri temple, Jagannath Puri. One devotee, he was describing to Srila Prabhupada that they barred his entry, they wouldn't let him in. He wanted to have a debate, he wanted to have reason, but whatever they said, whatever he said in argument, they said to him, you are a foreign person, you are not proper Hindu. In your next life, you can get born in Indian body, be proper Hindu, then you can get darshan of Jagannath inside the Puri temple. Srila Prabhupada said, you should say to him that if he is very, very fortunate, in his next life, he can get born in ISKCON. Then he can perform pure devotional service. So we have this facility. We cannot comprehend the vastness of the manvantars that Parikshit Maharaj wanted Sukadev Goswami to select the different pastimes from the different manvantar. This is too vast, it's too big a concept for us to grasp this amount of time. Just like we cannot understand the vastness of the universe. And now the cosmologists are thinking, like the Milky Way, which is 5% of what we can see, there's another 95% outside the spectrum of our eyes. But we think today there's 100 billion galaxies, each with 200 billion stars. Just like we cannot comprehend, we don't have words to describe this in the English language. So too, we cannot understand and we don't have the words to describe, to conceptualize the vastness, the hugeness, the value of the mercy that Srila Prabhupada has given us. We cannot understand this. Panchagoda Prabhu, yesterday, he quoted an example that Srila Prabhupada would use so many times he used this example. One frog, he has come back from the Indian Ocean. He visits his friend who lives in a well. He's down in a well, living in the well, where they're drawing the water for their household needs. He said, wow, I've been to the Indian Ocean. It's so big, you can't believe. So the frog in the well is saying, well, is it twice as big as my well? No, is it 10 times as big as my well? So we can only understand according to our experience. And the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the gift of Vaishnavism, the gift of devotional service is outside anything we can possibly understand. Sometimes I use the example, just imagine you have a lottery ticket. You put some money on the lottery, 50 rupees, and your numbers have come up. You pick the numbers, you've got the numbers. You have the receipt with the numbers, you can get a crore of rupees or whatever it is. You think, I don't need this much money, I'm a simple person, I'm going to give it to someone. The difficulty with giving this ticket with the numbers to anybody you know, your favorite school teacher, a person who's feeding the cows, whoever you give it to, they're simply not going to believe that you're giving them this crore of rupees. You say, no, this is the number. Check on the internet, They say, no, you've made it by Photoshop, you think I'm a fool, So this is the difficulty that we have in giving people Krishna consciousness. People simply don't believe it. It's outside the jurisdiction of their experience that something so valuable would be giving for free. And this is the fact. So rather than follow Ishavasha, people foolishly waste their time, waste their life, trying to grab as much as they can for their own personal comfort. We should try to cultivate an understanding of how grateful we should be. Prabhuji yesterday said the price of this ticket is eagerness, is greediness. We have to be eager and greedy. Like Parikshit Maharaj, he just wanted more and more and more Krishna Katha. Like George Harrison, he was dying. He said, I can't wait to meet Krishna. He's just hoping to die soon. ready to die. I can't wait to meet Krishna. So somehow or other, we have to cultivate this. We have to cultivate this understanding. We have to cultivate this eagerness by associating with devotees who are serious. People who don't want to grab as much as they can. Like the touchstone in Chaitanya, oh, it's in the garbage. Take the, it has no value. You just get more material things, more clutter in your life. So if we have a path in which we're trying to get more clutter, more things, in terms of being successful, of what is termed success, we're just simply wasting our time. And we should dress like nice devotees, conduct ourselves nicely, so that everyone we meet, they recognize that we're devotees, and they can ask a question about what is the value of life, just like is explained in the Katha Upanishad, the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, all of the 108 Upanishads, the entire collection, the entire Vedic literature is about this life is temporary. There's no need to make big endeavor in this life. We are eternally the servants of Krishna. We existed before time began. Our bodies were created, but we are eternal. Our eternal function is to love and serve Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was lecturing in Calcutta. He was saying that we should always dress like a nice devotee, dhoti tilak. He said, so that when people see us, immediately they think of Krishna. He said, just like in Calcutta. He said, as soon as anyone mentions Rasgulla, he said, immediately people think of Kesi Das. So Kesi Das, Krishna Chandra Das, is a very, very famous sweet shop in Dharmatala in Calcutta. They do very, very nice rasgullas. They squeak. They make a noise like a bird squeaking. Squeaky rasgullas. They're very, very famous. So Srila Prabhupada says, as soon as a person mentions rasgulla, immediately people think of Kesi. Oh, got to go to Kesi Das soon. So similarly, as soon as they see a devotee, they should think of Krishna. And we should be equipped to answer their questions. This is the price of the mercy that Srila Prabhupada has given us, that we will freely pass on this mercy to other people. Not that we should be misers, not that we want this knowledge for ourselves, or not that we completely misunderstand and think that ISKCON and Krishna consciousness is just an opportunity to grab as much as we can and make a more comfortable pile for us to sit on, which will do us absolutely no value at the time of death. And this is what Nichiketas said to Yamaraj. What is the benefit of unlimited material power? What is the benefit of unlimited material comfort? It is gone at the time of death. Hare Krishna.